actual moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live?
Yeah!
Orange whip.
Come get some.
Orange whip.
And here it is.
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nail down the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive.
Wonderful to tell.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
It is the big program. And you know what? It's almost Halloween. I mean, really, the entire month of October is the month of Halloween. But it's almost All Hallows Eve, one night of the year that the dead can come back to Earth.
Woo!
And then they've got November 1st to walk the Earth. But usually around here, the dead need a jacket. It's very cold. In fact, it's snowing outside right now. It's what, like 20 degrees? It's going to be shitty all week. It's going to be another shitty Halloween. Have fun, kids. My name is Derek Knight. You're listening to The Big Program. Available worldwide on Apple Podcasts. Heather needed to cough, and so she made a big to-do, a big
stink with her microphone.
Also, you can subscribe using whatever podcast aggregator tickles your fancy on thebigprogram.website. And yes, .website is a valid extension. It's happening all over the world, and we own that. Colin, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
You should get your mic closer to your mouth. I don't know why it's in your beard. You don't talk out of your tits. You don't talk out of your beard.
You don't know what I do.
You're right. I'm not your real dad.
Okay.
Is that good?
Eh?
Okay.
All right.
We're fine.
Eh.
It's fine. Fuck it. It's fine.
Eh.
Fuck it. We'll do it live. Heather.
Okay.
Hi.
Yeah.
I had floor jerky.
She ate floor jerky. Like I said, we are not a proud people. We will eat beef jerky off the floor.
That's right.
I just vacuumed today, so you should be safe. My girlfriend Jess.
Hey, witness the floor jerky.
She saw the floor jerky happened right in front of her.
And I feel okay about it.
Yeah.
I still like all of you.
I busted out
just
jerky.
Like, huh?
And Heather was like, "Is that jerky?" And I was like, "I am not offering you jerky." And she said, "Offer me jerky."
That's she didn't
exactly
even say
how it.
It.
Went down.
She made the grippy.
The grabby.
The
well,
grabby
but she
hands.
Did. But she did physically say, "Offer me jerky."
Did.
What movie is that from?
Is it from
oh, it's,
movie?
Oh, no, yeah, it's from Princess Bride. Offer me my power. Offer me money. Anything. I want my father back, you son of a bitch. So you got jerky.
I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win. We are going to talk about Halloween on this episode just because it's almost Halloween.
Halloween.
We've got Halloween memories, Halloween songs we like, Halloween, ghost stories, why not? The old days of this podcast, we would get my dad, and he would tell his favorite ghost stories, of which he had many. And Jess is like, I don't have ghost stories, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in ghosts. And then she's got a bunch of ghost stories. So,
you know, it was pointed out to me that being an atheist and not believing in ghosts are not necessarily mutually exclusive things.
Yeah,
but
you can be both.
I mean, generally speaking,
you can believe in the supernatural and not believe in God.
But that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, okay,
let's be
so,
perfectly honest.
Whatever college.
Can.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know about you. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'm starting to sound like Jimmy Jr. from
Bob's
Burgers.
You got
a Tina. Why are you getting
like
so
Jimmy
close
Jr.
to me?
Too.
What's that?
Says you got a butt that won't quit like Jimmy Jr.
I mean, it really could. I could double as the screen at the drive-in movie theater. That's how large my anus is. Not the anus.
No,
itself,
no,
that's just the anus.
No,
that,
no.
Wrong choice of words.
Oh
maybe.
My God.
Hey,
no. Downhill so quick.
No.
Record time.
All right, that's it for this episode. hope you enjoyed. Not going to end it just yet.
Oh, shit.
So, yeah, Halloween. I asked everybody in the room if they had any favorite Halloween songs. I have a lot of favorite Halloween songs, and I was tickled when Colin's Venn diagram for Halloween songs and my Venn diagram for Halloween songs overlapped.
Did it?
Just
I am shocked.
Just bumped. Just the tip.
Oh,
just
God.
The tips bumped together. and it was with this song here. Where is that song? Oh, this one. By the Revels.
Just got off from work. It was awful late. I had to pass the cemetery gate. The sky was dark and the moon.
There's just something about dark and ominous doo-wop. And it's Doom! It's the Doom song!
Yes.
But this particular song, the first time I heard it was on the Dr. Demento show. Dr. Demento did a Halloween episode where he played a lot of cuts from a compilation album called Doo-Wop Halloween is a Scream. And this is part of that. And up till that point, I mean, I knew I loved spooky music and things like that. That particular album really opened my eyes to, like, there's a lot of cool stuff out there that I was unaware of. But you came up with some really weird shit. Well, but that's kind of your thing. Weird shit is your thing.
I mean, I have a 3-disc set called Halloween Nuggets, which is some of these came off of.
Yeah.
And also have a couple of Cramps collections of music that they liked and stuff.
I know the Cramps are...
Take the Cramps.
Yeah. They were really heavily influenced by surf and some other 50s styles.
Yeah, I mean, their collection of 45s was incredible.
Yeah.
So
it's yet another example of the beautiful intersection of doo-wop, punk, and surf.
Yeah.
Like, they really all sort of fed each other.
And you know what fits right in the middle of that? Tiki! We recently got back from a bit of a vacation, so let's talk about that before we get into the meat of the Halloweens.
Yeah, Palm Springs. And Long Beach, and alongside all of that, some of the greater Los Angeles area, Burbank, North Hollywood.
Yeah, it was the annual QMCon, a.k.a. Quizmaster Convention. We touched on the last episode with Mark because he had done the fake Snoop Dogg round for the Super Quiz, which we always have at QMCon. But this year, because it was in Long Beach, some of the cool kids, of which we are, decided to take...
Everybody's a cool kid.
Take the cooler kids, decided to take a
Don't
couple...
Don't try to be clicky.
We are clicky, though, because there was only room for a few people.
We only had room in the minivan for 6.
That's right. So it had to be an exclusive club. But why don't you tell what happened, since you want to talk so much?
I thought this was a group effort, okay? No, we went to Palm Springs. We landed in Burbank. And
beautiful.
We
the best beautiful. Airport to fly into for 2 reasons. 1, because it's fucking Burbank. 2, they deplane from both the front and the back because you walk right down on the tarmac.
It's amazing. If you've never done that old school movie trope where they show people deplaning and actually... And as a kid, I was like, that never happens in real life. People don't get off the plane and walk across the tarmac into the airport. That's ridiculous. And then you fly into Burbank. And that's exactly what they have you do.
Nice.
They deplane from both the front and the back. So if you know this ahead of time, you strategically get a seat near the back of the plane where nobody usually goes at the beginning of the boarding process.
Which I did because, not to brag, but Southwest. I'm A-list. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always in the first half of the A group. Jess is not.
I like to play it wild card style with that 24 hours log, click, get your boarding pass.
But if we're flying together, I'll always get on the plane and hold a seat for her.
And then our friends, the Thomases, have that lovely middle ground because Josh is active military, so they get to board after the A group. So we always have people that can hold seats.
So it's not necessarily like a real, like, oh, I've got to shoo a bunch of people away. But there's a lag between when I get on the plane and when Jess gets on the plane. But when we're flying into Burbank, I just go straight for the back of the plane. And
right next to the door.
Everybody's just watching me like, where is he going? I'm like, we're going to be first off this fucking plane, guys. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, because they even open the back door before they open the front door. It's amazing. Yeah. Those stairwells are ready to go. And so we flew into beautiful downtown Burbank.
We did.
Hopped in the minivan with 4 of our very close friends and drove up to Palm Springs. We had rented a house for the 6 of us to share. The most beautiful.
Was that like built in 1952,
mod.
Maybe?
Yeah. I think that racket club was like late 1940s.
It was so friggin' cool.
It was amazing. But it was like this, when you say California mod, flat roof, white, had the original windows, rock garden with the giant aloe plants in the front, had the courtyard entrance with the pool in the
had
back.
Had a pool.
Heated pool. We were in the pool for the entire 2 days we were there.
Entire 2 days, because there were parts of the 2 days that we were getting shithoused at Tiki
Bars.
Yeah,
when we weren't at Tiki Bars, we were in the pool pretty much. It was fantastic.
And I don't know if you know anything about Palm Springs and the history of Palm Springs.
No.
Liberace lived there.
I was charmed. We saw Liberace's house.
Saw Liberace's house. Elvis honeymooned there with Priscilla.
Nice. Saw that
we
house
saw that
well.
House. Beautiful house.
We did some architecture tours.
Some of the other people in our group weren't as impressed as I was. I liked it a lot. Whose other celebrity houses did we see? Well, Marilyn Monroe's house.
We went by one of Marilyn Monroe's houses.
Yeah.
The bungalow?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Palm Springs.
Palm Springs, but beautiful.
It was so gorgeous.
Man.
So gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very Greek.
It was so cool.
And we went by the house that we are 95% sure belongs to the artist Shag.
Yeah, Tiki Artist Shag. His is literally across the street from the Elvis house.
Oh, wow.
But there were other celebrity houses that we saw. There's one house.
We went past one of the Dean Martin houses, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
There was like 20 of those.
Frank Sinatra. We went past Sinatra's house. There's a house owned by a guy who builds these massive, ugly, awful robot things that is all lit up for... I wasn't as enamored with it as other people
were. It's vaguely... Like, if you've ever been to Fort Collins, there's this thing called the Sweatsville Zoo.
Okay.
No, it's a big thing up north. I'm sorry. I'm from Podunk lands of northern Colorado where there's agriculture and cows. And also a guy that had taken his entire farm and built a bunch of, like, dinosaurs out of old tractors and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then he charges, like, $5 to get in and go look at all his tractor dinosaurs. It's, like, a major local landmark. Except I think they're probably going to sell it and bulldoze over it because that's how things are going up there. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there's... giant robot house, and it was vaguely holiday themed, which was also awkward.
Yeah,
it was like Santa Claus, but the guy had like a merry-go-round from an old Chuck E. Cheese ride, and we couldn't actually get in. We could just peer over the fence because it wasn't open, and it was very clearly marked, if you try to break in, we'll kill you. So that was odd. We did see the dinosaurs, though. We stopped
at the Cabazon dinosaurs.
And stopped at the dinosaurs that were prominently featured in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh,
nice.
That was fun.
And, of course, once we did that, everybody was posting Pee-wee memes, and the owner of Geeks Who Drink just posted, "Tell them Large Marge sent you," which they had posters. They sold posters that said that.
"Tell them Large Marge sent you."
Yeah.
And, they are definitely capitalizing on that movie from the 80s.
They are, but really, it's a roadside attraction in California. It's still pretty cool.
It is. It was way cooler than I thought it was going to be.
It was built by the Knott's family.
Oh.
Same people that did the Knott's
Berry Farm.
Yeah.
And I guess it was like the old man's passion project. Like, this was what he had wanted to do all along. And he
was dinosaurs?
These massive dinosaurs. And the gift shop is inside the Brontosaurus.
Ooh.
Yeah. So you get to go inside the Brontosaurus whether you pay or not. We did not pay.
Yeah.
There's a whole little park. And so you can't go inside the T-Rex unless you pay to go in the whole little park area. But they've got it set up in a very cool way where if you're just pulling off the side of the road, you can walk up to the T-Rex. You can take pictures with it. You can get inside the Brontosaurus and see the gift shop. You can see the museum pieces and learn about the family that built it and all their motivation That's cool. It's really neat. It's worth stopping.
I want to go get in the T-Rex.
And if you need to use the bathroom, there's conveniently located a Burger King right across the street. And that is the entire town.
Pretty much. Yeah,
two dinosaurs, Cabazon, a Burger King, and like a Mexican restaurant that wasn't open.
Some shitty gas station and probably a few bodies buried out there. It's body burying areas.
And it's windy as fuck.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So windy.
Windy.
All the time.
And then later, we had a bit of a problem because we went to the Queen Mary, but we were there during their Haunted Harbor, or what was that?
Haunted Harbor, yeah.
Haunted Harbor, which is this big Halloween-type carnival with haunted houses and actors dressed as things.
For a listener who has never been to Southern California, this is after we were in Palm Springs, and we have since relocated to Long Beach, which is where the Queen Mary is located.
Yeah, this was during QMCon. This was supposed to be the big after-party finale of QMCon. And I was excited to go to Queen Mary because I hadn't seen the Queen Mary since I was like 5.
Yeah, you guys went when you were both pretty little, right?
Yeah, I was in 6th grade, so you would have been in 3rd.
No, I was in 1st grade. That was when we went to see Jerry.
Oh, that's right.
That was way back in the early 80s.
So I was 9 because that was the year that John Lennon was assassinated, because that's where we were when John Lennon was assassinated.
Okay, then I was 6. I was really excited to see the Queen Mary. Jess was really excited to see the Queen Mary.
And then we find out, we get in, and it's like this giant carnival haunted house bullshit. And let me caveat before we get too far into this episode, I am not good with horror and gore. Like, I'm just not. It's not my bag. I can try. I've tried to be cool. I am not cool.
I tried to be cool.
It freaks me the fuck out. And I think at the
I'm not good with it either. I'll be honest.
The most kind way I can describe it is when I found out we couldn't get on the Queen Mary without, quote, going through all of this haunted bullshit.
Which she said that phrase to the lady at the ticket counter.
I had a complete fucking social anxiety meltdown of like the 10th degree.
I have never seen somebody so taken aback, but so willing to parrot what was just said to them. Well, this haunted bullshit is what we're doing right now. And I was just like, I'm walking away because this conversation does not serve my purposes or needs for the for the rest of the night.
I was very much on the edge.
When we were told, well, your tickets don't get you in, and we've stopped doing tours, I was done. I was like, fine, let's go find our cabana and hang out. And she was like, I don't want to go through this haunted bullshit. Getting into it with the ticket lady.
I just wanted to see the fucking ball.
I did too. And once I found out we couldn't, see, here's the thing. I didn't want to go at all. I was tired and I was sick. And so I was like,
I don't want to go. He was Captain Cranky Pants early, and I made it go because I wanted to see
and
the
she's
boat.
She's like, but I want to go.
Seen the boat.
And then we ended up having, we were in an Uber, and getting into the place, getting into the Queen Mary, it was just a massive traffic jam. We
like
literally told the Uber,
cars.
We're going to get out and walk.
We just got out in
we
the middle of the bridge,
the Uber
in the middle of the highway.
Walked.
Wow. And walked.
But, and then we finally got down to it, and there are all these out-of-work LA actors dressed as creatures wearing pans and other things that make noise, trying to scare people, jump scare and run at people. And the first actor that noticed me, because we were walking together, and I know she doesn't do well with this. And my whole thing is, I know they can't touch me. They're not allowed to touch me. So I don't have anything to really be afraid of. And so the first one that noticed me got down in like this gorilla stance, like he was going to charge me. And I looked at him and I mouthed, fucking do it. And he kind of recoiled and turned away and started, you know, looking at other people. And then there were other people who were just like, they were trying to get close. And I kept making eye contact. And the eye contact said very clearly, don't fucking do it today. And this one guy got really close. And so I jumped at him. And he freaked out. And I'm like, you're part of the fucking act. And so we were both not having a good time.
But to be fair, if you are into that kind of thing, Carver's credit.
The production value of this whole thing was phenomenal.
It's theatrically beautiful. It's incredible. And if you are a horny 17-year-old that's willing to pay $18 for a hot dog after you've paid $40 for a ticket to get in, it's going to be right up your alley.
Yeah. Hoping you can, like, you know, get a little closeness in the haunted house.
Yeah,
as soon
as we got there, I was like, I have made a poor decision. You have chosen poorly. Yeah. Because I know I'm not good with horror. So we ended up leaving. To be fair, we were not the only people in our social group who left early when they found out that we couldn't get on the boat. Because
we ended up back at the hotel in a whole mess of unhappy people.
With a real nerdy crowd. And when everybody found out that they couldn't actually see the boat except for as part of the haunted house, and you couldn't leave the haunted house, so you're really not actually seeing the historical value of the boat. You're literally just in the hallway where they've got the haunted house set up. People were pissed.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, we were not the only ones who apparently had a complete social anxiety meltdown at all. Yeah. The horror crap.
And I didn't have a complete social anxiety meltdown outside of terrorizing the people who were trying to terrorize me.
We got out into the parking lot
because
I found
the cabana where we were supposed to be, and I sat down in the cabana, and I was just relaxing. There were people around there that I knew, so I was like, this is fine. And then a girl came up who was, they had magicians and
street performers walking around doing stuff.
And she came to one of the sideshow people. And I hate sideshow geek stuff. I really hate it. I like magic. I hate sideshow geek stuff. It's always the same three things. You got the Neti Sutra, put a nail into your nostril. And what was the other stupid fucking thing she did?
It was like a needle in her hand or something.
Oh, no, animal trap. King of
animal trap. Yeah, that's what it was.
And unfortunately, where I sat, she stood right next to me. But apparently, everybody else in the cabana was getting a kick out of me.
Yeah, we were
just
all
being completely disgusted with how bad she was at sideshow stuff.
And I was next to Kavi, and Kavi was literally like, oh, she's standing next to Derek. This is going to be good.
She handed me the nail.
Like, you
that
picked
she was
the
gonna
one person who's actually a performer and has, like, some experience with magic and whatnot.
She handed me the nail that she was going to put into her nostril. And she said, check to make sure that doesn't bend. I bent it. I mean, I had to work really hard to do it, but I put a bend in it, knowing that it's going to hurt then. That's the thing. To go in, it has to go in straight. It has to
come out straight.
So I purposely put a slight bend in it just to punish her for being a bad sideshow geek. And it took a hell of a lot of effort to do it because it was a real nail. But I was just like, don't hand me your nail
so
if you don't want it bent.
TLDR, you are that asshole.
I am that asshole if it's a sideshow geek. I will play along with a magician unless it's a shitty magician.
And apparently it's a good thing we missed the shitty magician.
Yeah, because everybody told us that the magician was shitty.
But anyway, yeah, we went out, we left. The Queen Mary is cool. And again, if you're into horror stuff, I'm sure Dark Harbor's amazing, but just we don't ride carnival rides. I hate horror haunted house shit, and you don't like crowds of people. So we were just like, mm-mm.
But here's a fun little tidbit. They had the carnival rides from Michael Jackson's Neverland.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah. Talk about creepy, huh?
Still smell the children.
Exactly. But because she was having a bit of a meltdown, we walked out. I kind of walked her out to the front, and we sat at the front of the actual boat outside as close as we could get.
The best view of the boat that we got.
And just kind of stared at the boat and stared out into the ocean and talked for a while. And it wasn't as good as being on the boat. But it was better than really being cool in that mess of bullshit. Yeah.
And then we did the ultimate, like, awesome tourist play, because it was still, at this point, still relatively early in the evening. So the Uber situation on the bridge, like, there are thousands of people in line to get into this thing by this point, because we had to get there early because our VIP tickets were like, you have to get there before a certain time to get in. Most people get there later. So we are out already watching this horrendous line of people, watching all the traffic on the bridge. And we're like, you know what? We're about 2 miles from the hotel where we're staying at. We know we have to go over that massive bridge because there's only one way on. Let's start walking. It looks like there's a park. So we start walking through the park and we get around and there's a string of hotels. So we pretty much walked about, what, maybe 10, 12 minutes?
I would say 3/4 of a mile.
Yeah, so less than a mile. And we found a Residence Inn. And we're like, you know what? We look like Residence Inn people. By this point, I had to pee like something crazy. And all they had was porta potties at this stupid thing. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, let's just confidently walk into the lobby. We waved at the person sitting at the desk and walked past as if we were going to the elevators. Found the lobby bathroom, used the bathroom, called an Uber. He got there in like 2 minutes because we were over and away from all of the Dark Harbor nonsense, and got back to our hotel in like 3 minutes.
Nice.
And other people that were there
were waiting 45
minutes. They were waiting like literally like 20 minutes, and then their Uber
Ubers were canceling on them because they just couldn't find
them. We don't even want to go down there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we were like, ha ha, we walked 12 minutes and got Uber in 2 minutes. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that? So that was QMCon. We had QMCon. That was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Always
then
awesome seeing everybody.
Then we went up to Burbank, stayed at the Tangerine, and then hit the Gold Standard. The Tonga Hut in Hollywood on Victory Boulevard. It's Gold Standard for tiki bars. Y'all haven't been, have you?
We also hit Tiki Tea, which was super fun.
We hit Tiki Tea in Silver Lake, which has been recommended to us quite a few times by different people. And I understand why people recommend it. It's not really my cup of tea.
It was more my cup of tea.
But from a how, and we talked about this already earlier, how punk and surf and tiki intersect. It's a dive bar and a half, but it's been there since the early 60s.
Yeah, it's an LA dive bar, has not changed, has been held in the hands of the same family.
Still owned by the Bune family. Like, the younger Bune is working behind the bar
still.
Yeah,
the guy behind the bar making our drinks is literally the son of the dude who opened the bar in the 60s.
Yeah.
Cool. So it was a neat place.
So it was fun to see it from a history standpoint. And I know you appreciate history.
Yes.
Now we're talking about two different histories. You like the Old West.
Oh, but history is history, and not all makes me happy.
Yeah. So from a historical standpoint, Palm Springs was phenomenal. We got to see some super historical stuff you would appreciate, like Marilyn Monroe's house. Mm-hmm. We got to hit some super historical bars, and then we got historical hangovers. Actually,
we did. we certainly had the historical hangover.
Halloween memories. Let's talk about that. Colin, you got any good ones?
Well, no.
Cool.
I mean, there was the time when we took Tony to the zoo, and they were doing the Boo at the Zoo thing.
Boo at the Zoo, yeah.
Aww.
And someone jumped out and traumatized the crap out of her, and she was crying.
Yeah.
She was like 3.
Aww.
Yeah. It terrified her.
Yeah.
So
scaring kids is fun, but
yeah, the performer felt bad.
As they should.
Right. Other than that, no, not really.
Yeah.
Much.
Just like, what did you do when you were a kid for Halloween? Any costumes you remember working on really hard, or did you just go with the Kmart plastic bag, plastic mask?
No, see, I always tried to do costumes, and they never turned out right. It was like the Charlie Brown of Halloweens for me.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, I don't have... I mean, my childhood was bleak. You know how it is.
Aww.
It was bleak.
The bleakest of childhoods.
I love how you guys were like, oh, and I just laugh at it.
I think it's great, though.
I mean, part of me wanted to laugh.
You're living your best life right now.
Am I, though?
Yeah, no.
Hey. I don't know.
I don't know. He thinks he could do better.
My wife laughs at me, so laughs at my pain.
It's love laughter.
And no, I mean, my biggest my biggest childhood memory of Halloween was trying to throw a Halloween party. No kids came except for the girl that I had a crush on.
Okay.
And
tell it slow. Yeah,
okay. So they pull into the driveway, her dad and her, to let her out. And my dad comes out drunk screaming at them about parking in the driveway.
Just, oh, good. That's a good first impression.
Man. Yeah, yeah. Mm. And after the fact, it just went poorly. It went poorly. Aww. All of it went poorly.
So. Yeah.
So, no.
I can understand why you'd have some social anxiety after shit like that. Yeah. It's like, why should I try? Why should I ever try to do anything anyone else? Or
that and the severe teasing her and her friends did to me for the rest of my time there. So.
Oh, no.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah.
Maybe she's died in a fire by now.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
you know, what's her name?
I only know her first name was Destin. I don't remember Destin, anything else.
Yeah. She's destined to die in a fire. Anybody who names a kid Destin. Were they from Florida?
I have no
terrible
idea.
Name. Destin, I hope you burn in hell for making fun of Colin.
Aww.
What are you on Destin's side now?
No, I was like, aw, that's sweet that you would say that.
Exactly.
So
that's defensive. So sweet that you would defend your friend Colin like that. Hope she burns in hell. Hope she dies in a fire. Oh, you got any good memories from Halloween, Jess?
I have tons.
Oh, good. Share.
Yeah, I was the over-exuberant Halloween costume maker of shitty costumes myself. Mm. But I actually...
But you kind of have this I-don't-give-a-shit attitude about everything.
I was a straight-A student that literally got sent home from school three different times for quote-unquote inappropriate Halloween costumes.
Nice.
In the fourth grade, I dressed up as a glass of wine. My dad ran a bar, so I didn't think this was inappropriate. But it was just literally like I had just like a big roll of like cardstock paper around me in a round shape, and I had stapled a bunch of purple balloons to it, and then I was wearing like a top hat and a mask.
That's cute.
And little gloves and like black sweatpants. You know, because I was a glass of wine, and they're like, "What is your?" I'm like, "A glass of wine." And they're like, "You can't wear that." I'm like, "I'm a glass of grape juice." No, you need to go home. You need to take that off. That's
I'm communion. Don't you believe in God?
Want a cracker?
And then when I was in the seventh grade, so going back, I was like, I used to ice skate when I was really little, and so I had been in a production of The Sound of Music, and because I was like the 8-year-old fat girl, I had to play the nun. I was one of the nuns. So I had this nun costume, and in the seventh grade, I still fit in this nun costume. So I was a dead nun. So I like painted like the ghost
face. Yeah, what's black and white and red all over, right?
Blacked out my eyes and like did like a horror face with blood and stuff coming out of my mouth.
You were way ahead of your time.
Yeah, and I wore the nun costume. And then again, this is completely inappropriate for middle school, apparently.
Don't you believe in God?
Don't you believe a nun can die?
I was asked to remove my costume. They told me I could keep the face paint and just not tell people that I was a dead nun. But
you can wear.
It was the fact that I was
none
a nun
of
that
it
was inappropriate. Oh,
just had to sneak that in there.
Every opportunity,
every
you get.
Time. Heather loves puns.
Yeah. I do. So I mean, I have some good health. I mean, I was lucky to grow up in the very last wave of that era before cell phones, where kids were just allowed to run around the neighborhood in packs for like hours at a time without their parents and gorge themselves on candy. And
And I've told you that my plan was always costume. And then ghost sheet over costume so I could double trick or treat at every house. I would go first wave ghost costume, and then I would go take the sheet off and go second wave costume under the ghost sheet. But yeah, we were allowed to just go in packs. And a lot of times my friend Jamie lived over in a different part of, he lived in Widefield proper. I lived in security. And so we'd trick or treat in all the different neighborhoods that we lived in. And they were really lucrative neighborhoods as far as candy is concerned.
Yeah, we would stake out like whoever's friends lived in like the best neighborhood. And that was like the pack of kids you went and rolled with that night. Like, over in Kathleen's neighborhood, they're giving away full-size Snickers bars. We got to go there, you know.
I want some everlasting Gobstoppers. You know where I can score some?
Fuck my neighborhood. All I have is Tootsie Rolls and Bubble Yum. <You know? laughs>
Some asshole's giving away atomic fireballs. Let's go fucking egg his house.
Yeah, weirdly enough, you know what I buy for Halloween candy is Tootsie Rolls.
I love Tootsie Rolls, man. Tootsie Rolls are gold standard. Now, you made a face. Like, do you like atomic fireballs?
I do.
Oh, well, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I like atomic fireballs, but warheads, no. I don't like atomic warheads.
No, nobody likes warheads. Those are terrible.
Yeah.
What do you remember about Halloween?
I remember Rhonda always having brilliant ideas that we could do as a group for Halloween, and they never panned out. And the one that really sticks out is we were all going to be vampires.
Yeah.
And we worked and worked and built this coffin on a wagon. And we were going to take turns.
Oh, God, I remember.
Do you remember?
Yes, I do remember.
And we were going to take turns laying in this coffin. And then we'd go up to the house. And then, you know, there'd be two of us. And then after we got the trick or treat over with the two of us, the third one would rise up out of the coffin with our back. Trick or treat, you know?
Dracula.
And the Guziks lived next door to Rhonda. And we got to the Guziks' house before the coffin fell apart. It was such a great idea.
Yeah. And it just didn't pan out.
If you had actually had some help from somebody with some construction experience, yes, it would have been amazing.
Exactly. And it was just this three kids trying to do it.
Trying to build a cardboard
coffin.
So
then we end up walking around the rest of the neighborhood just, you know, kind of half-assed vampires because we were relying on the coffin to really pull it all together. But second grade.
Half-assed vampires tonight on NBC.
Exactly. But in second grade, Mom, that was when the Dealey Boppers were in fashion.
Oh, I love the Dealey Boppers.
And so I had Dealey Boppers with little silver glittery moons, like just balls, basically. But then Mom wrapped me in foil and sent me to school, and I was an alien.
That's awesome.
I always liked that one. Civil War ghost in fourth grade, I think, third or fourth grade.
Right.
Had a Confederate kepi and a big blood stain on the side of my ghost sheets.
Wow.
I was Indiana Jones. No, yeah, that one must have been third grade, because fourth grade I was Indiana Jones. And for the stubble, because I was only in fourth grade, I used Vaseline and coffee grounds. But I had a real whip, which I still have today.
That's
fedora,
when you gave Max, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Michael Rooker ended up playing with that whip.
Well, that's a different whip. Oh. But yeah, Max had a whip too. So slightly smaller. He's a smaller person. I'm trying to think other things that I did. I mean, because I would always try to really go all out for my Halloween costume. As an adult, I mean, if you want to talk about like when I was 19, I was Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
Nice.
Went all out with that. And Ryan dressed up as Raiden, and we got pictures of that. Some of those still exist today.
I think one of my weirdest years, I actually dressed up as my dad.
That's pretty cool.
Like that was a year after I'd gotten sent home. I think it was fifth grade. So it was the year after the wine incident. Because my dad, much like your dad, was a large statured man. And so I just grabbed a pair of his pants and one of his t-shirts and a pair of suspenders. And I stuffed pillows around my entire body.
Nice.
And then I put my hair up in a ponytail and put some fake stubble on. And
that's pretty great.
Everybody was like, what are you? I'm my dad.
Don't you know Gary? I'm Gary.
Yeah, I didn't even say I'm Gary. I was just like, I'm my dad.
Mm. Like, I was Rowdy.
Being real meta and weird.
Rowdy Roddy Piper in sixth grade.
Yeah.
So I had a kilt. It was just a plaid skirt from Goodwill, but it looked like a kilt. And I couldn't afford to buy the Hot Rod shirt, so I made my own.
Awesome.
With markers.
Because that's even better when you're a kid, though.
You just got to make your own, you know?
I actually have kind of like a weird love story tied to Halloween.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So when I was in kindergarten and grade, I was completely enamored with Rainbow Bright. And something you may not know about my mom is she is an incredible seamstress.
Ah.
She is very, very good with the sewing machine. When I was a little kid, she made most of my clothes. And so she spent just like hours and hours and hours and hours making this Rainbow Bright costume for me. And so I wore it 2 years in a row. But when I was in first grade, I was at one elementary school. And we had like the big Halloween carnival, you know? And I was dressed as Rainbow Bright at this Halloween carnival, blah, blah, blah. And then I moved to elementary school. So all of elementary school went by and most of junior high went by. And when I was in middle school. When I was in eighth grade, I started dating this guy and his name was Scott. He had apparently had a crush on me, but he told me, he's like, I remember the first time I saw you. It was in the first grade and I was in the jail, like somebody put, you know, you could pay to put your friends in jail and you'd have to stay in jail until somebody paid to get you out. And he was escaping from the jail. Like he literally got in trouble for climbing out of the top of the jail. And he's like, I looked across the room and I saw you dressed as Rainbow Bright. And I knew that you were like the love of my life. We dated for like 2 years.
And now Scott is named Celine?
Yeah, Scott is Celine now.
Yeah.
And she's still a very good friend.
Yes. Nice.
Long, long story, but yeah, I just thought that was really cool.
You was
like,
Rainbow Bright.
Having that moment of like, I remember you dressed as Rainbow Bright in the first grade. It's such a dorky thing, but it was so awesome.
That's really cute.
I was like, that totally won me over. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you.
That checks out. All the facts check out.
All the facts check out. We did go to the same elementary school for 2 years.
Nice.
The second time I worked at Fargo's, for Halloween, I dressed up as Maleficent, and I actually went to the Disney store and bought the actual Maleficent costume.
Yeah.
And did the makeup, and I just don't even remember how I did it, but it looked really cool with I had the big black pointy eyebrows and the green paint, and But
so you're like good old school Maleficent, yes. Not Angelina Jolie.
Yes,
Maleficent.
Exactly. I was old school.
Screw that new shit.
But I was working on the salad bar that day, and so many people were like avoiding the salad bar because Maleficent was working the salad bar. And one little kid walked up to me and he was like, "Did you poison the salad bar?" And I was like, "There's only one way to find out. You gotta go get a salad." And he was like,
"Oh, that's
awesome.
That's fascinating.
That's awesome.
That story reminds me of the Adam Savage No Face story."
Oh, yes.
Yeah, why don't you tell that story?
No, I'm not going to tell that story. You tell that story.
So you know who No Face is?
No. The character.
Explain No Face to them.
So No Face is the character from Spirited Away.
Oh,
that
oh
is right. Like the monster that's got the mask that eats everybody and pukes up all the gold. And
But
Adam Savage from Mythbusters.
Adam Savage from Mythbusters went to a Comic-Con dressed in this phenomenal No Face costume that he made. And he kept handing out little chocolate wrapped gold coins to people.
And nobody would take it from him because
people
he was
would take it, but then they realized, oh, you're not supposed to take gold from No Face. And they started coming back and throwing it back at him. And then word got around and nobody would take his gold. Because they were so into the characters. They're like, you can't take gold from No Face.
And on another level, it was really cool because nobody at that particular con
didn't know.
They were interacting with Adam Savage, who in and of himself could have been running a booth at the con because everybody freaking loves it. But he was just attending dressed up and nobody knew it. So Mark Hamill is really well known for doing that kind
of
stuff.
He does that stuff too,
yeah. Yeah, where he'll wear
Simon
a costume.
Pegg. Simon Pegg loves doing that stuff.
If I was that level of famous, I would love doing that.
Why
too.
Not? Let's all get famous and then we can go do the show. Like
John Mayer, too. As much as I don't like his music.
Yeah, I'm not really even familiar with anything. I mean, I know who he is.
Okay, so he had his moment of fame, right?
Yeah.
But as a person, he actually has a really good sense of humor. He went, when he was at a point where he was selling out stadiums, right?
Right.
And like, what is this, early aughts, like 2002, 2003, 2004. He was hugely successful. He had sold out like this giant like stadium concert, and like 5 hours before the concert, you know, people are pulling in, they're in the parking lot, they're lining up outside. It's like this big deal. Like people are kind of, I don't know, like tailgating a John Mayer concert, but you know, people are getting in and getting ready to get inside so they can actually get into this thing. And he got a mascot, like a bear costume.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt that said like, "I hate John Mayer" or something like that. And was just rolling around in the parking lot and people were like attacking him. And he had a bullhorn and was just being an asshole. Like he had a friend with a camera following him around. Like,
nice.
Who's this John Mayer guy? Why are you guys all, this guy sounds like an asshole. And it was him in a costume going around the entire time.
That's outstanding.
It was, I saw a special on that with an interview back when MTV was a thing. And I'm like, I hate this guy's music, but he's actually kind of funny. He literally was one of those people, though, that was like, what kind of music will make me famous? That's the kind of music I'm going to write. Like, he really didn't care.
I mean, that's Rascal Flatts.
Yeah.
You know, they were a very capable rock and roll band. They could do covers like nobody's business, but that wasn't selling. And then they were like, oh, how about sappy harmonies and shitty country music? Boom. Everybody fucking loves Rascal Flatts suddenly because they figured out the niche that they fit in to sell records at the time.
I feel like we've diverged from Halloween and it's totally my fault.
Not necessarily.
But
we can always get back on track.
I want to get back to some music, though, because we're talking about music. So
yeah, I mean,
we've only listened to like one song.
We have. And at this point, at this point in the podcast, I think we're going to have to do the Halloween Horror Spooktacular music episode as a completely different episode next episode.
Okay.
Yeah, which is cool. I mean, we've got a lot of music, and we won't play all of it. We'll just play snippets.
So we're just going to sit on like what, earth-shatteringly dour Halloween memories now?
So we have more movie reviews.
Yeah.
From Karen.
Hey, that's Karen.
Okay, first movie I'm going to review is The Equalizer. The star of the movie is Denzel Washington. He is also the producer. I think he directed it. It's a Denzel movie because nobody else that's in that movie had I ever heard of. But it's an awesome movie. He works at a place called Home Mart, which is just looks exactly like a Home Depot. And he works in the wood area. What do you think?
He's bringing the wood.
In the lumber division, I would say.
I like that she laughed at wood area.
He lives by himself. I don't know that it ever showed what city it was, but it was a city near the ocean because there was a lot of big ships. So anyway, living in a big city, he is very nice. He's very kind. He's very smart. He's very methodical, almost like a computer. He sees things in his mind, and it's everything. I have to admit, I only saw the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie. So I don't know where he may have gotten these skills from. A Navy SEAL or something. But anyway, the whole premise of the movie is he is trying to help this person that he meets at this restaurant that he goes to. It's more like a little diner. He meets her every night. He meets this girl. She's a hooker. And she's working for some Russian guy.
She needs a t-shirt.
Mean to her. And so he takes a liking to her. Not that kind of liking to her, but, you know, just like a father
figure. Not
that
kind of liking.
No. Father figure liking to the hooker.
Right.
Because they don't. They need their daddies.
They do. They have
daddy issues. Worth it just to go see that movie. To see him do that because it is awesome. Hey, that's
Karen. She likes it when Denzel beats up bad people.
Can I stop for a minute? Did she call him Denzel Washington?
She might have called him Denzel Washington.
Washington.
Here's the thing about R's. R's sometimes come out of words where people shorten them up and they circle the globe and then they drop into other words like Warsh. Washington.
Well, she told me today, she asked if I'd seen that movie and I said no. And so she was telling me how good it was. And she said, I didn't know any other person in that movie. She goes, I only knew Denzel. And that's all that movie needed.
Just needed Denzel. You know, it's kind of like Eddie Murphy when he plays all the clumps. If Denzel Washington plays all the characters, she'd watch it.
Yes.
Maybe Denzel should do a reboot of Nutty Professor.
Maybe he should.
Okay, hold on. What was this movie called again?
The Equalizer. There's actually been
two
of them. There's The Equalizer and The Equalizer 2. And all I know about it is that Denzel beats up a lot of people.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the TV show?
No.
I think it's Michael Caine that is in it.
Michael Caine. Michael Caine is the
Equalizer. I might be wrong. I'm bad with actor names. But yeah, he would go around helping people and equalize.
I'm curious.
Equalizer.
I looked at the cast because, you know, when she says something like, oh, Denzel was the only person in it that I know when I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
And usually that means like, okay, it's probably full of famous people. And it's like, I'm looking at the IMDb credits and I'm like, I don't fucking know anybody else in this movie either.
Well, now I have
except for Bill Pullman.
Okay.
Bill Pullman is in it.
He might have been in the middle.
Yeah, whole bunch. Well,
that's
she
right. That middle part.
She watched the credits at the end, though.
Oh,
literally a bunch of people I've never heard of, and people that look like they might be famous people.
Although Heather is expressing regret and remorse.
David Harbour.
Oh well, we all know who David Harbour is now.
Well, yeah.
Chloe Grace Moretz. Yeah, we know who that is.
Melissa Leo. I know her.
Yeah, Melissa Leo was in I'm Dying Up Here. She played Goldie.
Oh. Yes, she did, didn't she?
She sure did.
I apparently have seen her and stuff. I just didn't know who the fuck she was.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard putting the name with the face.
Yeah, but then I don't know anybody else.
I mean, David Harbour's in it.
Right.
Robert Wahlberg.
Yeah, I just got to that.
The other Wahlberg.
Robbie Robb. Yeah.
I didn't realize there were so many Wahlbergs.
There are so many Wahlbergs. There are more Wahlbergs than there are Baldwins, which is
Wahlbergs
saying
and Baldwins.
Wahlbergs could talk.
Wahlbergs and Baldwins. Yeah. So, hey, that's Karen.
Hey.
Yeah. Tell him. Tell that ghost story, Colin.
I don't have a ghost story.
Fucking liar.
Just the one.
Okay, just the one.
No, but I mean, I just think I was.
Tell it.
Asleep still. Waking up in my room when I was in the Air Force with somebody standing at the end of the bed.
Yeah.
An airman that I'd never seen before, and he just sort of faded away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And I just think I was.
Dreaming still.
Yeah. Waking up.
All right, Mr. Science, how about you?
Well, you know, I've got a lot of ghost stories.
I know, so you
got
to tell them. That's what this Halloween shit is about.
Hey, which one do you want to hear?
We have take a request. Call the all request ghost story line at 1-800-GHOST-STORIES.
Okay, so this is one that I usually tell everybody, though. Like, it's the first one that comes up. But Dad was in Nebraska for a golf thing, PGA thing.
Oh, yeah, he was always chasing qualification.
Yep, and you were living in Denver going to college, so it was just Mom and I in the house.
Let's not call it college, all right? It was tech school.
Tech school, whatever.
They had a jingle.
I'm the only one here that went to college.
That's right.
Because of fraud and embezzlement. I have a degree.
So, going to school in Denver.
Yes, there you go.
And living so it was just Mom and I, and I had gone into my room. So if you're going down the hall, just for listeners' benefit, my room is the first room on the left. And then you go all the way down the hall, and Mom and Dad's room was the last room on the right.
And Mom and Dad's room was creepy, man.
It really was. Their phone was, when I lived there after they moved out,
the phone was haunted.
It was really freaking creepy. I had to get rid of that phone. But I got it from For some reason, Peggy gave me that phone, and I don't, and it was just creepy the whole time. I don't get it. But anyways, back to the story. So I went into my room to make a mixtape because that's what I did.
That's what you do back then,
this
man.
That's what you did. It's and so I'm, and mom walks by this. She's like, I'm going to bed. Good night. Love you. And she's, and then I'm making my tape, and pretty soon I hear Heather. And I was like, ooh, sorry. Music's too loud. Turn it down. Never heard another thing. Didn't think anything of it. Next day, mom and I had a lot of errands to run, and we were out all day, and it was towards the end of the afternoon, and we were headed down towards the post office by where you used to live, and she said, just out of the blue, says, have you ever had one of those things where you're sleeping, and you wake up because you heard something, and you don't know if you actually heard something, or if it was a voice in a dream that woke you up? And I was like, oh, yeah, all the time. She said, because last night, I swear I heard somebody yell, mother. And I was like, well, that's weird because I heard somebody yell Heather. And I said, and they both end with burr. So, and she's like,
very similar words.
Yes. And she was like, oh. And I was like, well, it came, what I heard came from your end of the house. And she said, well, I heard it coming from your end of the house. And so we never did figure out what it was, but we both heard the same thing. But if she heard it coming from me and I heard it coming from her, it wasn't like it was something outside.
That house in particular, though, I have a lot of very negative memories about very scary things that happened in that house. Specifically, the first time that I ever was, not the first, the first time I remember being just completely scared out of my wits, I was in my room, which is in the back of the house across the hall from the room she was talking about. And I was under my bed looking for something, and I saw somebody walk by the in the hallway. But there's nowhere to go at the end of the hallway except into the wall.
There was a big cabinet at the end of the wall.
But somebody clearly walked down the hall and then disappeared into that cabinet. I was young, and I jumped up, and I ran down the hallway and just freaked out and jumped into my mom's arms. Another time, different house, though. I had gotten up early in the morning. Everybody was asleep. The house, this particular house, was on Durazno. And there were bedrooms at the end, and then there was a split, and you can go into the living room or you can go toward the kitchen. And I paused at that split, and I turned back and looked into my room. And then when I looked back, this massive wall of color and sound came down the hallway and went through me. And I've never been able to explain that, but I panicked and leapt backwards into the bed that my mom was in, which we measured later was 14 and a half feet away.
I remember that. The wall of color.
Yeah. Wall of color and sound.
Yeah. But when I
very strange.
When I was living at the Hackberry house after mom and dad moved out and I was working at Atmount, so I would sleep during the day.
Yeah.
And the cats would bug me if I shut the door. But then if I opened the door, they were crawling all over me, and that was no good either. So one day I was like, screw it. I took the blankets and the pillows and I went into the dining room. I was just going to sleep on the dining room floor.
Yep.
That was what I was going to do. But I had wall beads or door beads between the living room and the dining room. And I woke up because I heard a noise, and the beads were just swinging like somebody huge had walked through them and fast. And they were just swinging like mad. And it was like, well, none of the cats could have done that. And I always think it was Uncle Jim went like barreling through them or something.
Multiple people saw Jim in that house after he died. Not just us. Ryan saw him.
Christina saw him.
There was always a mirror that was hanging by the front door. And that mirror is now in my room. Ryan said multiple times he saw Jim in that mirror as he would leave, because he lived with us for a while. Christina said he saw him. I mean, dad, mom saw him all the time. He was a permanent fixture in the house after he died.
Yeah, because Christina stayed with me one day because we were both working at Atmel, and she came to my house to sleep, and she slept on the living room couch. And when we woke up, she said, did you get up and walk into the kitchen? And I was like, no, I didn't wake up at all. And she was like, oh, because I think I saw Jim. I saw somebody walk into the kitchen while I was laying here.
What was his connection to the house?
Well, he lived there for a while.
Yeah.
He lived there when I was in elementary school, early junior high. He didn't really have any direction in his life. He was my dad's brother. And he kind of was just, he was looking for a place to stay. And he stayed with us for a couple of years, right?
Was it that long? I can't remember.
I mean, it felt like that, but I had to share a room with him. Pain in the ass. He probably just liked getting yelled at by my mom. She yelled at everybody.
About the dust bunnies?
About dust bunnies, and she would hide the remote from him because he didn't do it. He just sat on the couch and watched TV, so she's spiteful enough that she would hide the remote to make him get up and change the channel.
TVs when you could actually do that without a remote.
Yeah. Yeah, that house, A lot of weird things, but you've got some ghost stories. Let's not pretend that you're completely devoid of ghost stories.
I have weird experiences that I constantly try to explain off as being either figments of my own imagination or manifestations of just people being very convincing, and it's easy to let your emotions get the best of you.
Yeah.
I've also absolutely know that cats have jumped up on my bed and curled up on my legs in houses where there were no actual cats.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Got any? Well, you've got the ghost story of the Phantom Airman, which sounds like a Hardy Boys novel, but still.
I will say, staying in my grandmother's house recently after she passed, very large, very empty house that is in the process of being sold, and we stayed there a couple of weeks ago, and this is literally like, Derek has stayed in the house, so he knows. It was a very old house. It used to be a barn. It was converted into a house in the 30s. My grandmother moved in like 1952, and she lived there until she passed away this past January. And my mom lived in the house until she moved back to Colorado 2 weeks ago. And so we were staying in the house, and literally all that was left in the house that had not been packed up was a couple of, like, you know, basic toiletries that my mom hadn't packed up yet because we were staying there for a couple of days, and the two beds that we were sleeping in, and then the table and chairs downstairs. And that was all that was left in the entire, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. So everything was totally empty and cleaned out. And, I was expecting it to be a lot creepier than it was, and all that happened is a spider bit me in the fucking face.
That's right.
Oh.
Spider bit you in the nose.
That's not a ghost story, but...
It looked bad, though.
Scary enough.
It was fucking scary.
Yeah.
It was gross.
Looked terrible. Spiders can be ghosts. I do a whole bit in my stand-up routine about spider ghosts. Revenge humping your face. Smile. My name is Derek Knight.
Happens to me in real life.
There you go. See? It's life imitating art, art imitating life. My name is Derek Knight. You've been listening to The Big Program. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find us anywhere you can get a podcast, on Apple Podcasts, thebigprogram.website. Colin Burton.
Goodbye.
Colin Burton and the Adventures of the Phantom Airman.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Phantom Airman. Broke your confidence. Heather.
Yes.
Lived in a spooky house.
Yep.
I've lived in a few. Jess doesn't believe in ghosts.
It's okay. I still love you.
I love you, too. Fuck Montrose, y'all. We will see you back again some other time.